Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Before we get Sheriff Simmons, I just wanted to make a note. You know, we had this crash of a military helicopter that we're getting reports of. We don't know who it was. We don't even know what branch it was. A friend of mine who's, a military parent, right? Okay. And talking about, like, holding her breath, you know, not sure what's, you know, who's involved. And it kind of struck me in a way that I had never thought about it quite before, but it affects every military parent until you know who it is. And that waiting, that uncertainty, that anxiety, and then even when you do know who it is, even if it wasn't your child, it's these things are hard for an awful lot of people. And so, you know, while we're waiting for information, while they're waiting for information, keep them in your prayers as well. 7:40 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Chip Simmons is the sheriff in Escambia County. He always joins us on a Tuesday at this time. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to have you. The big story, of course, in the last day was this home invasion on Majors Road. If people don't know where that is, if they know where Hancock is by Brown Barge Middle School, then you go across the tracks to the west on the south side of Hancock there before you get to Old Palafox, right in that vicinity. So kind of an old part of that part of town, not a particularly affluent part of town. If you've seen the pictures of this home, it's obviously not a very well-to-do home. But what happened here?
You got pictures. You have five hoodlums. Decide they're going to go to that location. First, they went to the house behind it. There's a small dwelling behind on the same property. They actually get in that home, and they ask the man there if they're asking for money. They're demanding, where's the money? Where's the money?
And this is late at night, right?
Money. Yeah, early in the morning.
Okay.
Yes. I think about 2:30 in the morning. And then they actually hit him with a weapon, causing him harm, not in life-threatening injuries. And they leave that that dwelling, and they go to the front trailer. You can see in the pictures that we've put out, they do have hoods on, but I think you can see them. We are pretty confident that someone knows who these hoodlums are. They're carrying guns, and they fire a couple times. One goes through the door and actually hits the dog. The dog's gonna be okay, but it hits the dog. How brazen are these idiots to just come around and just demand entry and try to kick the door in first, and then they fire into the door. They're there for a reason. They think that there's something in this home, either the one behind it or the one, you know, the trailer in the front. So we're asking people that in the neighborhood, they're asking people to look at these pictures. You're going to know who they are. They're easily identifiable to me, because if you know one, you probably know them all.
Right.
You know, these guys are acquaintances. These thieves are running together, and you can see the guns in their hand. You know, and people have called me up and talked to me and said, if they come to my house, don't worry about it. And honestly, I feel the same way. Don't come to my house like this. That's not going to end well for you.
Do we have any guess on ages?
They look to be teens. They're,
right.
They look to be all black males, and all I would say that they're probably from 16 to 19 years old.
Okay.
You know, school's out. I don't know if they're school kids or not, but we'll have the answers. I haven't talked to my investigators this morning, but they are on it. They're obviously, we take these things very serious, and we hope that the community takes these things very serious. These people need to be in jail, and if they are juveniles, I hope that the judges keep them in jail until they end up going to prison.
Now, I know that none of this would, there's certainly no justification for any of this, but we always kind of wonder, well, is there any reason to believe that the homeowner was engaged in behavior that would invite this? Because you and I talk a lot that there's, you know, there's domestic violence, there's unprovoked criminal activity, and then there's criminal activity dealing with other criminals. You know, people go to rob drug houses, people go to settle beefs, all this kind of
right.
stuff. Based on what I saw in the interview with the guy, I mean, I wouldn't think anything like that is going on. But you tell me, is there any reason to think that anything like that was happening in this home or on this property that would sort of explain this?
Well, and again, our investigators are looking into all parts of it. I think that the victim in the first one, the 70-year-old man, was like they were looking for something. They felt like something was there. Money was there. And what we normally look at is why there? Why did they go to this location?
Right.
You know what? It doesn't seem random to me. Now, again, could it be a mistaken location? They went there twice. They were pretty serious about it. I find it highly coincidental if they weren't looking for something specific. And again, it may just be money. Maybe there was a beef of some sort, as you mentioned.
I thought the allegation he had made was he thinks that somebody hired them to do this or something like that. You know, so I don't know what to make of all that, but it didn't seem to me like they're just randomly driving down Hancock and decide, well, this is the place that we want to go
assault.
Yeah, this
particular location, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, there were cars. You can see there's a bunch of cars parked out front, and I believe the victim does some car work. But they're not trying to steal cars.
Right.
They're trying to get inside. And again, I guess if you look at it, they did contact the first gentleman in the house behind theirs, and they were asking for money. They don't just go to random houses asking for money. There's something to that, and our investigators aren't naive. They're going to look into all of that.
Right.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong going on. I'm just telling you from my experience. You don't just, like you said, at 2:30 in the morning, you don't randomly just say, "Hey, this is the house." You know, that's not how it works.
So for people that, you know, they see something like this, and it's pretty scary to imagine, because of course what you naturally think is, well, that could have been my house. For all I know, you know, could have been my house. The basic things that you recommend, I assume, are, you know, be armed, pay attention, have security cameras, don't open the door for people that you don't know, right? All this stuff.
Well, I just want to make sure people are clear. We're on this. Our investigators have been on this since it happened. And again, we don't know every young man in Escambia County, but we do know. I am certain that someone recognized. There's one of them didn't even wear a mask. And again, once you know the one, then you're going to know the others that they're hanging around with. So we're obviously doing our crime scene with fingerprints and that sort of thing, and you know we're doing all the investigation that we possibly can. You know, including going toward their neighbors and see if there's some more video that we might be able to get where they get into or out of a car. And again, we're going to do all that stuff. I'm pretty confident we'll have them identified unless they're out of town. They don't look to be out of town. They're probably local kids. And here's the thing: this isn't their first one. You don't take a gun, you don't try to kick a door, and you don't shoot into a door as your first, foray into criminal activity.
Right.
But here's what we're going to do. We're going to find them, we're going to arrest them, and I hope they go to jail for decades.
We're at a roundtable yesterday in Panama City where Jim Petronis was there, Senator Scott was there, talking with other law enforcement about these kinds of things, right?
Yeah, we had 18 law enforcement agencies. They traveled from Central Florida all the way, obviously, from the Panhandle, and then we met at Bay County Sheriff's Office. Senator Scott was really just wanting a little roundtable to ask how he can help, how the federal government can help. And then Jimmy Petronis was there just discussing about the financial state of the state of Florida, because there were some small counties, some rural counties that operate almost solely on grants, and so they were talking a lot about grant work. But the reason I bring it up is because Leon County was discussing they had four shootings over the weekend. While we had this, we didn't have the four shootings over the weekend. And a lot of them are asking what we're doing, because a lot of stuff that we're doing is working, quite honestly. We do have, I will tell you that our violent crime and our nonviolent crime is down for like the third, fourth year in a row. But you still have people like this. We still have criminals that act like they don't have to obey the law. And so once we can get these individuals off the streets, once we can get them in prison, then Escambia County will be a much safer place. And we need to all work together. Again, we don't see everybody. We don't know everyone. But someone in the community knows these people. And I'd be very disappointed if someone doesn't call Crime Stoppers or someone doesn't call us and say, you know what, I can't allow our neighborhoods. I can't allow these kids to be just terrorized, because if they're going to do it to this neighborhood, they're going to do it to their own neighborhood.
Right.
They've been doing it probably for years. And our number one priority is to get these criminals off the street.
You know, you tell me if I've got this analysis wrong, but I remember when it's a bit of a comparison, but when 9/11 happened, We learned that, you know, terrorism doesn't come except where there's a place where they learn to be terrorists, right? Where they learn and are tolerated, Afghanistan, obviously. And it seems to me like it's kind of a similar problem where you don't have gangs like this, you know, and I don't mean that in the official legal sense of a gang, but, you know, five people coordinated attack with guns, that's, to me, that's a gang. That doesn't happen unless they have a safe haven of some kind, you know, people who know them and put up with this and allow this and could report them and don't. And so until that problem goes away, you're going to have this kind of bad behavior. And so getting those people to cooperate, like you say, that's at the heart of solving these problems.
And we talk about that even in our roundtable. You know, I gave the stats. I said, this is what's having, you know, if we're worried about shootings, let's find out why we're having shootings. We're having shootings because of money. We're having shootings because of guns. Mm-hmm. And drugs, and we're having shootings because of domestic violence. So let's target those things. Let's not say, oh my gosh, the whole world is crumbling, because that's not taking place. But we're allowing, as you alluded to, allowing these kids like this to run. And you know what? The worst thing they could have wanted, as if I cared about what they want, the worst thing they want is their pictures to be posted all over our Facebook page and all over the media and us talking about it. Because now the people that haven't seen it can go to our Facebook page, hopefully, and take a look at it.
Right.
And these school kids are on Facebook. They know who this is. And that's I would be.
Somebody's going to learn there's Crime Stoppers money.
there's money. And you know, really the right thing to do. You look at it and say, you know what? That's my friend, or I know that person, but that person needs to go to jail.
We're just about out of time. We always seem to run out of time too quickly, but I did want to give a moment to say, you know, how is the deputy doing that was injured in the escort right. The other day?
He's doing okay. He has a broken ankle, and by broken I mean it's broken, and so he's going to need surgery. But he's going to be fine. He's in high spirits. He understands that these things happen, and I spoke to him at the hospital. Him and his wife, and you know, he understands that. You know, that things like this do happen, but he's going to be back to work as soon as he can, and we certainly appreciate the outpouring of support from, you know, from everyone, really, because again, like we talk about this, you know, we're after these hoodlums, because we have deputies, men and women at the sheriff's office that are willing to stop these people. I mean, they're going to find them, and they're going to go and they're going to seek them out, and if they try to run, they're going to stop them, they're going to ram the car. We're going to do what we can to stop them and get them and put them behind the bars.
And he was, by the way, in case people aren't familiar, he was injured on a motorcycle when he was accompanying a bus, as escorts often do, just, you know, on 9 Mile, if I remember correctly,
right.
While they were clearing an intersection. Also, a little bit of a good news note, you just had your first training class for in-house training for law enforcement officers. That's just kicked off, right?
Yeah, we talked a lot about our own training academy that allows us the flexibility to start one when we need it. We have 21 members of our very first class. There's a photograph of on our Facebook page of the 21 with a couple of us, and the reason we're doing it is because it has started. You know, we talked about it. Gun is going to start. We talked about how great it's going to be, how much time it's going to save. But now it's started. They're in week one, and I harken back to my own days in my first week in rookie school. I mean, now I'm learning how to handcuff somebody.
Yeah,
I'm learning
yeah.
We have to run a little bit. We have to, you know, we have to learn a lot. We have tests all the time, and you have to learn the rules. You have to learn about, you know, where everything is in the facility. So we're obviously very proud of the staff. I'm super proud of what they've accomplished in such a short time to have our own academy. And again,
it's
if
fantastic.
You want to see a good-looking group of men and women that want to serve their community, go up on our Facebook page and take a look at those 21. Just you can see the sense of pride in their in their eyes.
And nobody's putting shoe polish on the bullhorn, though, right? Like
no. It's not that kind of police academy.
Is there a tackleberry?
Last thing, we always like to end with a safety tip. Do you have a safety tip for folks this week?
Yeah, I think a safety tip kind of related to what we were seeing and what we're talking about. And this is for parents who want to know if their children are doing the wrong thing. If your children are showing up with different cars every day, if there's a car that's parked out there that you don't know where it came from, if you're hanging around with people that show up with different cars, those cars are stolen and they're up to no good. And if you don't want your children to escalate into what we're seeing on Facebook, then you need to have that conversation with them, or maybe you have that conversation with us, because almost every shooting, in fact, I'll say every shooting that we see is done by the use of a stolen automobile, a stolen car. And they're hiding these cars somewhere. They're stealing cars. They're going through and looking for keys, and some people, strangely enough, leave keys and guns in their car, and they take those cars, and then they use those cars if they're going to do some sort of criminal endeavor. And so my safety, my tip of the week is that if you're a parent and you wonder if your child is on the wrong path, if they have different cars in their driveway, if they have different cars, if people pulling up with them, and you don't know who they are, they're on a path. You need to be leery about that.
That's a great awareness tip. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir. Thank you for the time. Thanks for the information, and thanks for keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.